Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about with us, give us a call at 844-322-2742, whether in the U.S. or Canada. That's 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've had a lot of questions over the last several weeks on overcoming temptation, how to deal with the desires of the flesh, how to say no to sin, all of those sort of things. And I love what John wrote about this in his first letter. And he's writing in chapter 2, he addresses children, he addresses young men, and then he addresses fathers. Mm-hmm. Now, I think these represent stages in our Christian development, us growing in the grace of God and growing in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. So as children, he's writing to them because their sins have been forgiven on account of Jesus' name. He's writing to children because they know their new identity as children of God. They know God as their Father. And that's a place of rest for us when we really discover that our sins have been dealt with once and for all, that we have been made righteous in the sight of God. We can take this deep breath, this sigh of relief, and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. I'm at rest in you. Now, from this place of rest, we're going to see some other things grow out of that. And the first thing we're going to see is victory, because even in this place of rest, that doesn't exclude us from temptations. It doesn't exclude us from old thinking that we used to do. It doesn't exclude us or shield us from this world that we live in. But from this place of rest, as we really believe that our sins have been forgiven, as we really believe that Christ is alive living in us, we experience victory over those temptations in life. And that's what he says, I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Well, what does the evil one do? Well, the first thing he does, he accuses us all the time. That's what Scripture says. He is the accuser of the brethren. So he says things to us just through all sorts of ways. You call yourself a Christian thinking that. Really? You just did that and you think God has actually saved you? Why would you think such a thing? And that's what the accuser does. Well, if you are rooted and grounded and at rest in Christ, you just simply look at him and say, hey, you can accuse me all you want. Take that up with Jesus. He shed his blood once and for all. And because of that, my sins have been forgiven. And boy, you submit to that truth and you'll see the enemy just taking off. He doesn't have a defense against that. He doesn't have an attack against that. He can't put a hole in the truth. It just won't work. Satan can't do that. And so young men learn to overcome the evil one, and they do so, he goes on to write in verse 14 of 1 John chapter 2, because you are strong in the Lord, and the Word of God abides in you. And because yes, the Word of God abides in you, you have overcome the evil one. And so what does that suggest to us? Well, it suggests that we need to get into the Word of God and to read it. And to read it to get to know the author, to really get to know Jesus, to grow in our knowledge of him. And then as we read it, to trust the Holy Spirit to interpret it for us, to give it the real meaning to us. I mean, there's lots of people that read the Word of God, and there are so many different interpretations, some just wild and crazy, and you read what they read and you think, how in the world did you come up with that idea, yeah, with that understanding? But to give some consistency, to give just the real story of the Bible, we have to depend on the Spirit of God to teach us. And thank goodness, those of us who are in Christ, if you are in Christ, you have the teacher living inside of you. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell you, and his job is to guide you into all truth. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, mind is not conceived of those things that God has given us, but he has given us the Spirit to make them known. So we have the Spirit of God to teach us the truth of God's Word. And as we rely on that, as we're strong in that Word, then we're going to experience victory as life throws things at us, as our enemy throws things at us, as the desires of the flesh rise up inside of us. We're gonna experience victory over those because we're abiding, or the Word of God is abiding and living in us. So from this place of rest, now if you're struggling, you're wondering if Christ has forgiven your sins, if you are out there thinking that you have out-sinned the grace of God, that you're beyond the reach of God's rest, of God's forgiveness, you are not in that place of rest. Mm-hmm. What's our encouragement to you? Enter into that rest today. Do everything you can to enter into that rest. Be eager to enter in to God's Sabbath rest. Say thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. Say thank you that he has declared you righteous. And when you do, you will find your soul at rest in Christ Jesus. And there, from that place, you can experience victory over all of these temptations that come your way.
Indeed. And that is the good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. And if you'd like to really join us and pose a question or have a discussion with us on some particular topic, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742 in Canada and the U.S. Toll free, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Richard and friends, we got a very nice note from a new listener in Arizona. His name is Gary. And he says, enclosed you will find my first time donation. A few months ago, I discovered your Saturday program on the Christian Satellite Network here in Arizona. Quickly, I saw the need for the group I lead to take advantage of your Hebrew series. We now have 8 men that meet on Thursdays at our local library. All of us are growing in Christ. Now I have subscribed to your daily program and can listen to it on my way to work. Today, your answer to a caller's question, "Can I lose my salvation?" was so powerfully, yet uniquely but simply stated. Your simple but profound explanation will make it easy to explain, yet thorough enough to really change the way some think. Thank you for all you do, especially making Basic Gospel available. That's from Gary in Florence, Arizona. And friends, of course, that just really confirms the fact that your gifts to Basic Gospel, your outreach through this ministry, really does make a difference. Now, here are 8 men whose lives have been changed because of what they heard on Basic Gospel. And just no way to know how many times that is repeated across this country. Right now, we're only 5 days away from our fiscal year end. And friends, we really need your help to get across the finish line and keep this Basic Gospel message going. As you know, Basic Gospel is listener-supported, so we're dependent upon you, God's people, to sustain this outreach. And at the end of the program today, Bob Christopher is going to be giving us an update on where we are. But right now, if you can, please go online and donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can also mail a check to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310. That's in Louisville, Texas, 75057. Anyway, it's a good way to donate.
Yes, indeed. And what a wonderful letter. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Gary, God bless you and that group of 8 men growing together in the grace of God as you work through that study on the book of Hebrews. Just thrills our hearts that is happening. And like he said, the clear, simple explanation. There's a lot of confusion out there in the world. There's a lot of mixed messages. There's a lot of complicated answers that are being pushed. And boy, you listen to them and you think, what's this guy saying? We need simplicity. We need to get right to the core issue. And if somebody is struggling with forgiveness, we don't need to complicate that. Just say, hey, Christ went to a cross. He shed his blood. So to take away your sins, you receive him, you have forgiveness of sins.
Yes, yeah.
It's just as clear and simple as that. And we appreciate those who are rejoicing in the simplicity of the gospel message and really growing in the love and grace of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So, friends, come on. 5 days left in this fiscal year. We need your help to get across the finish line and make it possible to continue to proclaim boldly this message of God's unconditional love and grace here at Basic Gospel. Well, guys, we had a call that came in, and Bob, this is in reference to our response to your request for our listeners to call and give us a testimony about how God's grace has worked in their lives. Let's listen.
Hello. I just wanted to answer the question on tonight's show regarding how do I personally overcome temptations. It's just as you said, through the Holy Spirit. He is the one that helps us through any temptation. You know, I always remember when I'm in the beginning of the temptation that I am the one to submit to God, and then I can resist the devil. So if I submit to God, meaning I must just immediately start praying and talking to God, and the Holy Spirit will minister to me just as he did to Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. So that's how it works for me, and so I enjoy the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, really nice call.
What a great call. And yes. We did ask the question the other day, and after we read Titus 2:11 that says the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, and it, the grace of God, teaches us or trains us to say no to sin and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. So we ask the question, how has the grace of God taught you to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ? And so we certainly appreciate this caller calling the broadcast and sharing her story. And I love the fact that she said that any temptation that comes her way is an automatic reminder to put her eyes toward Jesus, to turn her eyes to Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of her faith. And she does that in prayer and in dependence upon the Holy Spirit to work in and through her. That's who our strength, that's our victory. It's all found in him. And that's the good news. And that's exactly what we were talking about at the top of the hour, how we can overcome the evil one. And it's simply through faith in Jesus Christ. That really is our victory, our faith in Jesus Christ, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it sure is. And what I love about her is it was so matter of fact. You know, it's not, ooh, the Holy Spirit helps me. I just go to the Holy Spirit, you know, and Jesus is there and he helps me. That's as practical as it gets. That's as real as it gets.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
No mystery to it. Yeah. It's the power of God living in me, and he does it.
Right. Yeah. Christ in us, our hope of glory.
Yeah. Well, friends, we'd love to hear from you. If you can call right now, we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We also got this call from Marcy overnight.
Hi, Bob. My name is Mercy, and I'm just asking this question for a friend who just recently got married. They've only been married for like less than a year, and her husband has been deployed. And so they're kind of going through like a long distance, you know, relationship, and they actually just got married. And also he's a Mormon and she is a Christian, so she believes in Jesus Christ. I want her to be encouraged. Is there some kind of encouragement for her? I just listened to your program of marriage and like the importance of being equally yoked. I would love that if you guys can share that. That would be amazing. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, Marcy, thank you for your love and concern for your friend. We really appreciate that. And thank you for calling Basic Gospel to ask that question. You know, the ideal situation and the way God has set marriage up is for two believers to come together and be united and to become one flesh and to learn to serve one another in love as each walks in dependence upon Jesus Christ. That's the ideal. That's the grand design of marriage as God has laid it out in the Word of God. But oftentimes that pattern isn't followed. We as humans make our own choices and sometimes try to do things our way. I know so many people that have decided to date unbelievers, and they said, you just don't know how I feel. Yeah. This is the one for me. I know, you know, if I stick with him or with her long enough, I can eventually convert them, lead them to Christ, and it will all work out.
Good luck with that.
You know, 10 or 15 years later, they're still wondering, what, you know, is this ever going to happen, and all of that. So he says at the beginning, date a believer. You know, start a friendship, start a relationship with someone who is in Christ, somebody that has common ground with you, a shared life with you, because you have Christ in you and that person has Christ in them. So you're going to share a life together. And as you depend upon him, this marriage, this relationship can grow into what it needs to be or what God has designed it to be. But if you start and you're a believer and you marry somebody that's not a believer, here's what the Word of God says to you. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him or put him away. It's kind of interesting. That word divorce is the word forgive.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same word when John writes to the little children, I write to you because your sins have been forgiven. They've been put away from you.
Yeah.
They've been removed from you. So this word divorce is that same word. I've always found that interesting. So it says, if you have an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with you, then live with him. You never know what God is going to do in that relationship, but you're not necessarily going to have a husband that is free, that's been liberated to really serve you in love. He may be draining you. He may be asking you to make him happy and all of those sort of things. So he's going to be dependent upon you to do only what Christ can do for him. So that's going to be difficult for you, but hang in there.
Yes.
Just if he consents to live with you and loves the fact that you're a believer, stick with him and allow Christ to work in and through you. Mm-hmm. And know that at any point, there's an opportunity for him to see what the gospel really looks like up close and personal, because you've been set apart, because you are in the Lord. He can have that opportunity to see that gospel up close and personal, and you never know, there might be a day when his eyes are fully open and he can come to Christ.
Yeah, especially in this situation. He's been deployed. Well, that means he's away from home with the military, and what he needs from you, his wife, right now is security. He needs to know that the home fires are burning, mm-hmm. and that you can't wait till he gets back.
Right.
Because he's facing other things.
Yep.
So your way of serving him right now in Christ is to make sure he knows how loved he is and how secure he is and how much you miss him, not in a complaining way, but in an encouraging way, so that he can base some of his response to what he's facing, whether it's deployed to Germany or deployed to, you know, some hot spot. He's still away,
yep.
and there's still stress. And help him overcome that stress. And you might get an opportunity down the road to say, you know, Jesus helped me with that.
Yes, indeed.
One last point on this issue, as far as Christianity and Mormonism is concerned, a lot of the same language that is used. And so Marcy, your friend, she's going to be saying a lot of things about her relationship with Christ, and her husband may hear that through kind of the Mormon filter and think, mm-hmm. hey, we're saying the same thing. He's going to speak about Jesus. But when you look underneath the hood, as far as Mormonism is concerned, you're not going to see a message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes.
It's a works-based salvation. So recognize the differences there. And stay true to the gospel message, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And I think with that, you will be able to demonstrate to him what the difference is and maybe see his eyes opened to the grace of God.
Yeah, well, Marcy's question fits perfectly within the context of our Friday teaching series on marriage. And if you have not had the opportunity to listen, friends, and you'd like to catch up, you can do so by going to our radio archive. You can find the archive on marriage at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the everything is there, and we'd love to have you join us for that series, either by recording or live on our Friday editions. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. That is a question from Destin, and we're talking about giving. He says, please help me be sure I understand Hebrews 7 regarding tithing. They say if you do not pay your 10% to your church, you're disobeying God. My understanding is that the Levitical priesthood was replaced by a new one, and as a result, we are released from that obligation. That's from Destin in New York.
Well, a couple of things. One, you know, as far as paying your tithe, what the writer of Hebrews was talking about was the law, the Mosaic covenant. So each one had an obligation to bring tithes into the storehouse. Now, as Gentiles, we were never a part of that. We were never a part of the Mosaic covenant. So that's never really applied to us anyway.
Yeah.
Now, as far as us, children of God, the New Testament encourages us to excel in the grace of giving. Now, Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And so I encourage you to take a fresh look at those two chapters. And we actually have a little booklet that we would love to put in people's hands called Giving the New Covenant Way. Mm-hmm. And it really examines the tithe and what that was all about. And we look at various passages in the Old Testament. And then we spring forward to the New Testament and the New Covenant. And that's the covenant that we live in. And in this new covenant, we're to excel in the grace of giving. And we would love to send that to anyone right now. If you would like a copy of it, call us at 844-322-2742 or simply write to me, bob at basicgospel.net. That's bob at basicgospel.net. Just request Giving the New Covenant Way, and we will send that to you by mail, and we know that that will be a big help to you. But as far as Hebrews 7 is concerned, the whole point the writer is making is that Jesus is superior to the Levites.
Yes.
Why? Because he is not a priest like they are. He is a priest from a different order. He is in the order of Melchizedek. And he uses that example of Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek, 10% of the spoils that he won in battle, as a big piece of the argument, saying that this Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, so the greater was blessing the lesser.
Yes.
And so he's saying, in the same way, Levi comes from the very loins of Abraham. He was in Abraham when all of that happened, and therefore Jesus is superior to Levi. That's the point.
That's the point.
There's nothing more that's being said in that particular passage. Yet so many people make it about tithing, and if you don't tithe, you're robbing your church, you're robbing God. That's utter nonsense.
Yeah.
Just utter nonsense.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, you say, the grace of God has saved me, undeserved. He lavished his love and grace on me, except when I don't pay tithe. Then he gets out a 2x4.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nonsense. It cannot hold water logically.
No, it can't. We are new covenant believers. Make that declaration. It will change everything for you. Mm-hmm. And you will actually find in your heart a desire to give.
Yes.
A desire to be a part of what God is doing by giving of your resources. So helps.
How are we doing as far as our fiscal year end?
Well, we've seen such generous gifts, and we are so grateful for that. We have about $70,000 to go between now and June 30th, so 5 days to go. And we've seen this outpouring of generosity in the past, and we're certainly trusting the Lord to move in the hearts of people right now in these next 5 days. So the date is coming soon. It's critical. And so if you want to be a part of it, I urgently ask that you give today.
Donate online, friends, at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can mail a check to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also give through the Basic Gospel app. Canadian listeners, please donate online at basicgospel.net/Canada. Other cross-border listeners can donate through PayPal. So many good ways to help reach us, help us reach those who need to hear of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, remember, friends, that if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, 844-322-2742 is available anytime, 24 hours a day, anytime you need to call. That's 844-322-2742. We would love to address your question on a future edition of Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us for this one, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.